saying nothing, lying where the sun is, baking down upon our sides. My lips touch you with their soft, wet kisses.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me questions at bruce@bruceallen.com and follow me on Twitter at Bruce Allen. It is time for the Men's Room with Wayne Levine. Wayne Levine is a life coach for men, couples, and families. He's the director of BetterMenCoaching.com in Agoura Hills, California, where he facilitates men's groups and men's retreats. BetterMenCoaching.com's mission is to help men be the best men, fathers, and husbands they can be. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
Hello, Bruce.
So you said on the break that our topic today is something we've done before, and I realized when you said that that many of our topics are topics that we've done before because there are only so many evergreens, as I call them, and money and how we communicate about money with our kids is certainly an evergreen, and it is one of the top two or three problems most couples have with each other, let alone with their kids. And I would argue that if we don't educate our kids about money, they will obviously not just pick it up by watching us. But more importantly, I think there's a whole generation of parents that have spoiled kids when it comes to money, so that they're facing a very harsh reality when they graduate college and struggle to support themselves. So where do you want to go with that?
Indeed. Well, as I've said before, it's never about money.
Well, usually it's never about anything whenever I say that. It's always about something else.
It's usually about something else than what we think.
Uh-huh.
But there are issues, there are things to teach our kids, certainly about money, and there are things to learn about ourselves and our relationship with money that will impact our relationships with our significant other. There are a lot of people who have a very unhealthy relationship with money. It means more to them than really works for them. It impacts their lives in numerous ways. It interferes with intimacy. It can do a lot of damage. So it's really important for us to get healthy around money. And when we are, then we can teach that healthy behavior to our kids.
So give me some examples of both healthy and unhealthy behavior, that what you were thinking when you said those things.
Well, you know, the whole notion of scarcity or abundance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a relationship with money. In my case, I grew up with a very unhealthy relationship with money. I grew up with a mom who grew up in the Depression and grandparents who had nothing. And so the relationship with money is hard to get. We have to hold on to it. We have to get it however we can. And if we have to cheat a little bit, that's okay because we're entitled. And so all these behaviors were wrapped around these very negative thoughts and these values. And it showed up in the way money was handled and money was thought of and the way money was talked about. And so I had to spend a good number of adult years reassessing what my relationship with money was going to be. And when you have... When you don't have a healthy relationship with money, no matter how much you have, you will be miserable.
Well, I am a huge believer that money has very little to do with happiness other than abject poverty may contribute to unhappiness. Everything else, from just basically being lower middle class to super rich, is ultimately irrelevant to your happiness. That comes from within. That comes from what you give to the world. That comes from the relationships you nurture. And it certainly doesn't come from the possessions you have.
That's
so
correct.
We obviously agree on that. Given your background, and I had a somewhat similar one, but more from my grandparents. They were the ones that were the products of the Depression. My mother lived through some of that, but didn't feel it as much because she was an only child. And her father spoiled her as best he could, so she wasn't as affected as he was. He never got over the Depression, my grandfather, my mother's father. But given that background, what did you do different with your two children?
Well, one thing I did different than my grandmother is that I refused to rip paper towels in half, which is what she used to do to make the roll of paper towels last longer. And that was sort of a lot of what I grew up with. So what I did with my kids. Look, we had it much better as parents, and our kids had a much better time of things than I did growing up. You know, I had one parent, my kids had two, and we had enough to take care of things and have everything we needed. So some might say spoiled. And there were times when, you know, certainly they didn't have to work for some things. And we've dealt with it a little bit, but I think that primarily there's a lot of latitude in terms of parents teaching kids about money, and you can make some mistakes and not have to lose too much sleep over it. The most important thing is just to be as consistent as possible in terms of what your values are. And those tips that you mentioned in your column and in terms of having the kids earn, teaching them the respect of money, showing them how the bank works and how checking accounts work and how tips are calculated, all that stuff is very important. And I think it falls
God, you actually read it.
Yeah, I read it. I think it falls into the category of teach, you know, of treating your children like adults.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big proponent of that. I mean, even young kids, when there's an important lesson to teach, treat them like an adult, because in time they'll come to behave like an adult. Not to expect them to behave like one, but start training them that when there's something serious to talk about, you're going to talk with them in a serious way. And that includes all the lessons around money.
Well, I obviously agree with you. So how have your kids, now that you have grown kids, both of majority age, what is their relationship to money?
It's healthy. They understand the need to save. Of course, my son doesn't have much to save at the moment. This summer, he really had a life lesson, not having much money, having an internship that paid but not much, and living in a very expensive city while he was doing it. But we didn't come to his rescue because it was really important for him to feel it. And now he knows that there's a certain amount of money that he wants to have in his life to do the things that he wants to do, and he's going to have to carve it out. And I've seen the results already, because he's being much more resourceful as in his last year of college. He's added on a couple of different jobs. He's gotten smarter about how to make money, how to work smarter. And so, you know, I think he'll be set up to take care of himself when he graduates, because he knows that he's on his own. He's not coming back home, and nor does he want to come back home. But the lessons, you know, we keep having to teach. Sometimes, you know, you think that it's falling on deaf ears, but the cumulative effect of delivering the same good message over and over eventually wears them down, and they start to actually hear it.
Well, I agree. And repetition in this regard is incredibly valuable. I would like to just, on the assumption that not all of my listeners are as diligent as you in reading my columns, I would like to reference one of the tips that I gave, which I really think was an accidental discovery of mine. I came up with the idea, but it worked beautifully. And that was, we all give our kids allowance. But one summer, for a variety of reasons, my boys had just begun reading, and they were both really enjoying reading, and they loved to go to the bookstore and buy a book. And I said, I'm going to give you a book allowance. And the amount, I don't remember exactly what it was, but the amount was approximately, say, $5 a week. And it was enough that they could buy a cheap book, but it was not enough to buy some fancy picture book. And they had a choice. They could go every week, and we had an outing. Every Friday after school, we'd go to the bookstore. And they got their money that Friday in cash. So they had to hold on to it, that green cash in their hands. And my younger son would invariably buy a Berenstain Bears book because it was under $5. And my older son did that for a while, but then there was this one book he wanted about movies, and it was $25. So he had to wait 5 weeks to get the money. And when he got that book, my younger son looked at it and went, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And they both learned a great savings lesson. So we can teach our kids how to save. We just have to show them and give them some tools.
Yes, sir. And it's never too late to do that. My son bought a new laptop. And what he did was he got his first piece of credit by getting the credit card through the Apple Store.
Ah, very important.
And he paid it off faster than he needed to, which caused some other problems, which he learned about cash flow. But he paid it off, and he said to me the other day, he goes, you know what? It feels better having paid for it myself. And I thought, well, better late than never. It's good.
Great lesson. Listen, we're out of time. Wayne, please tell our listeners where they can reach you.
BetterMenCoaching.com. You could get a copy of my book, which is a great place to start for men who want to become better men, fathers, and husbands. And you can learn about our weekend, our annual weekend retreat in Santa Barbara, October 19 through 21.
Excellent. Thank you, Wayne. Another great edition of the Men's Room. I'll talk with you next week, and we will be back with Pastor Drew Sams for Teen Rap after these messages.
Nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Most men are like me. They struggle in doubt, trouble their mind day in and day out. Too busy a living to worry about a thing called love.